Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 19, and it's on page 77 in our church Bibles. Exodus 19 from verse 3. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And now we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for our New Testament reading. Page 1160. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Peter, for reading so clearly for us. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear your word, speak your truth into our lives this morning. Amen. Grand. So it's our privilege to talk about the ministry to older people here this morning, or it's my privilege. My name's Esther Clift. I've been a member of the congregation for about 17 years here. It's just great to be able to be here and to be talking about growing older and older people's ministry. Betty Davis is reported to have said, "Old age ain't no place for sissies." And Golda Meir, who was the president of Israel, said, "Old age is like a plane flying through a thunderstorm. Once you're aboard, there's nothing you can do about it." And I think we live in a grossly ageist world. People don't want to get old. And people are afraid of getting old. And I have to say, I think we live in an ageist church. I think as a church, our focus is mostly on young people. And while that's great, and I really understand why that's the case, I think it's sometimes to neglect our older people. I know of a church locally where they don't want anyone over the age of 50 on their leadership. Fine, maybe, but actually I think you're missing out on something of what God is doing in our community. And so I'm really, really delighted, you don't know how delighted I am, that one of our mission priorities is about ministry to older people. And I hope this morning that you've had a bit of an idea of what we're doing as a parish through the video. And I hope that you'll have a bit of an idea about how God feels about older people. And also something of your own sense of growing older. And I look around and see people who are far ahead of me in this. But I think I am very selfish. I want to do this as well as I can. And unlike some of the other areas of ministry, I'm not going to be a young family again. I'm not going to be a youth again. And I hope personally I'm not in a point of hardship. And yet this really matters to all of us. And so I hope that we can just take a little bit from that about our own experience of growing old. I'm using our framework of up, in, out, and of this morning, so you can kind of follow through where I think we're going. Our up is all about our relationship with God. And at the commissioning service for the chaplains early in January this year, there was a clear prophetic word that the older people in our community are the treasure of Southampton City. I don't know if any of you were there and remember that. This resonated with me amazingly powerfully. And actually, some of those treasures are found and are working their treasuring in our community. Some of those are yet to be found and to be released into their gifts. So some people are already shining lights. And I think God is really using this image. So he gave me two very clear passages, which Peter's just read beautifully for us, as Dan invited me to share today. And the first is that passage from Exodus. So the people of Israel were walking. They'd been walking for 3 months by the time these verses were read, God began to speak to them. And they'd been walking and camping and walking and camping for 3 months. Now, some of us think a week at New Wine is hard work. They're in a desert, not only camping, but in a desert camping, boiling hot during the day, no shade, freezing cold at night, no food, no water. A really, really hard place to be. And then there's this mountaintop experience of meeting with God, of God's really, really clear speaking out to them. We talk about mountaintop experiences, don't we? Times when we have something spectacular or really great emotions or whatever. It's not surprising. And God says to Moses very clearly, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I've carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." This is the covenant. This is the promise that God has for us as his people. Knowing Jesus, obeying him, Jesus turns us from slaves into priests. As Paul said the other day, kingly priests, priestly kings. We are those people. We are God's treasured possession. Not just anyone's possession, but God's possession. And the picture I've put up here isn't just of a single beautiful gemstone. It's of a treasure chest, a huge, opulent, lavish, beautiful, precious chest of wonderfulness. And that is what we are as God's people across the world. And it's fabulous that we've got the Zimbabwe church here this afternoon. They are God's treasured people. And actually, we are here too, not just a slightly damp motley clue at 9:30 on a Sunday morning. We are God's treasured possession, his own treasure. And our treasure is the gifts of love and grace and hope and all of that possibility. We are God's treasured community. And that's not just the older people either. Some of us are older, but actually it is for all of us for now. And then the next passage God gave me was this few verses from Corinthians. So it starts the verse before Peter led. "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on all sides, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." So the amazing good news is that actually we're not treasure in our own strength. We're not battling to polish ourselves. Actually, it is the power of God in us, transforming us. And it's not that we're treasure on our own, but it's him in us that's transforming us. And it's not a mistake that our treasure is in jars of clay, easily broken, cheap as chips, made just from mud from the earth. Actually, our bodies are like that. They are crumbling, fragile, easily broken. I wonder how many of you resonate with that. Yes, we long to be treasure, but actually our bodies are falling apart. And I think as I work with older people all of the time, that's what I recognise, that people are captured, if you like, within these jars of clay which are crumbling. That actually being community is actually recognising God's sovereignty beyond that, and our desire to encourage one another to be obedient and to live together within that. And our community of older people is this community of elderberries, and you saw some of the folk speaking on the video there, seeing God answer prayer together in the small things but also in the really big things. And this picture June Dodge did for us, illustrating what elderberries looks like. She's a fabulous artist, if you didn't know. And actually, it looks about the fruitfulness of growing old as well. So those beautiful, lush, purple berries. And we are in community with people like Stella Van Gutsen, who's in her care home, who loves it that we remember her and that we visit her and that we were part of her community still. I know Amy said when she was leaving here, when I said what had surprised her most about her ministry, and she said, I thought the pastoral visiting was going to be really hard work. And she said, I rarely visited an older person without being much more blessed by them than I could possibly bless them. And I think that's the experience of our community, that in service we are being blessed. We are knowing how we can work together. And so that's our up and our in. We are a treasured community of God. So what about out? You can understand maybe that being a community of faith is one thing. But what's the point? Older people, they're already fixed in what they believe, aren't they? They're never going to change. Why on earth would we be encouraging them to think about new ideas or to really engage with Jesus in a new way? And I would really beg to differ. I would suggest that actually, as those jars of clay are crumbling, sometimes treasure is revealed within in a new way. But also, we know that older people often seem to grasp the enormity of the closeness of Jesus in a way that some of us who still think we're going to live forever don't actually recognize. And the evidence suggests that older people are able to change their views. Many people are searching for truth as they know their days are numbered. They are wanting to engage with some of the reality, and some of the worldviews they've held don't hold water anymore, and they want to know. And also, older people, this generation, are the last bastion of Christendom. Many of them will have been through Sunday school. They believe in God. I rarely find a patient who does not say to me that they believe in God. They have that Christian worldview. So we're starting at a very different place in sharing the gospel with younger people who don't even know whether God exists or not. So we need to take that opportunity, and we need to make this a critical time. It's not going to last for long. 10 years, these people are not going to be with us anymore. Now there's an urgency in that communicating the gospel to these folk. One of our preachers here in Shirley said to me recently, really challenged me, that talking about Jesus is a matter of life or death. I think my job is often a matter of life and death. There's a picture of me in my uniform being very professional. Actually, preaching the gospel is a matter of life and death. We need to be sharing that. My work, I can get people better for a bit. They're still going to die. But actually, if we preach the gospel, people are no longer going to die. They're going to share in that eternal hope that we have. So what does our out look like here in Shirley? We've heard about the care home services, where people really engage and find God in a very, very real way. It's lovely to see Len nodding. I don't do the care home services. Len and team are doing that week on week. The lunch club, as we reach out to people and engage with them. There's space. Invite people along. And Sunday at 3, as we said, love to see more people. And we've got some amazing treasured evangelists. June Dodge is one of those amazing evangelists I know, through her art club and through her ministry. She's drawing people into the kingdom. Pray with her, pray for her, and encourage her in that ministry. So these are some of our treasures and some of the ways in which we are learning what God is doing. And I've got a lovely story that if you think that you're too old, a bishop in Sydney was preaching in Christchurch Cathedral one Sunday. A 75-year-old woman called Edith Hatfield was saved. Mrs. Hatfield had attended the church for decades, but the message had never really got through to her until that single day. And the following day, she came up to see the bishop, and she said, "I couldn't sleep last night. I'm just so excited about knowing Jesus. I want to do something to serve God with these last years that I've got left. Could I help in the Sunday school?" And the bishop looked at this 75-year-old white-haired lady, and he just could not picture her in a group of the Sunday school kids. And he said to her, "I'm really sorry, but I haven't got an opening in the Sunday school." And her face fell, and he said, "You really mean this, don't you? Right, let's pray that God will show you how he wants to use you." I always cry, sorry. It's just very exciting. The next day, Mrs. Hatfield went out. She was pruning her roses in the garden, and a Taiwanese student walked past, and he stopped, and she began chatting to him, thought he was a nice chap, so she invited him in for a cup of tea. And as he came in, had a cup of tea, she told him her testimony. And he thought it was an interesting story, and he'd quite like to come back and talk to her again. And she said, "Yeah, come back, but this time bring some of your friends." And he came back, he brought friends, and again, she shared with them how she'd come to faith in Jesus, and all these years, after all these years, and how Jesus had forgiven her, and she had that opportunity of eternal life. The students came back, brought more friends and more friends. And within a few weeks, she was leading a Bible study for 70 Chinese students. And she led many of them to the Lord, to a personal faith in Jesus. So that which seemed to her to be a hindrance, her age, actually was an amazing, amazing opportunity. I recently met a chap called John, who's down at Western Shore. He'd been invited to their lunch club by his GP, who was encouraging him to get out more because he was quite depressed. He was invited to an Alpha course by the church, and he came to a saving faith in Jesus. And when I asked him what difference it had made to him having a faith, he said, "Well, that hasn't changed very much for me, but the neighbours are a lot less annoying." And I just think there are those opportunities for us to invite people in the small situation. You may not be a Mrs. Hatfield, but actually let's find the Johns in our community who need to hear about Jesus and who need to see his grace in their lives. Use the remembrance service. If you've got older neighbours, they would love to come along and be a part of that. So there's lots of opportunity for out. And as you see, I'm part of the British Geriatric Society, which is the kind of overall medical arm of looking after older people. And we pride ourselves in holistic medicine. And part of my mission is to try and encourage everybody to include spirituality as part of our holistic mission. Pray for me as I encourage people to ask folk and to engage people with their Christian worldview or not, to work on their spirituality. And so we also have our of. Who are we part of as this group of elderberries within Shirley? Well, many of you were around in January when a handful of us were commissioned as Anna Chaplains with Debbie Thrower. That's her beautiful face on the screen there. She's working with the BRF, the Bible Reading Fellowship, who are responsible for Messy Church. And she is overwhelmed by seeing God at work amongst the ministry and older people across the country. And I think even within here in Southampton, there's a huge amount of work, and God is moving within the older people. It's headed up by Erica Roberts, who is our citywide chaplain for older people. And this Tuesday, we've got a launch of Caraway, which is a charity to support older people's ministry. She's already been able to secure funding for a post to have a part-time chaplain working in Lords Hill with older people amongst the sheltered housing accommodation that's up there. So God is at work in this city, and his older people are his treasured people. His spirit is at work. And we're also part of a dementia awareness community here in Shirley, trying to look at how we can make our businesses more dementia friendly. We've already, as I've said, adapted some of the liturgy in our Sunday at 3 to make it accessible for people who've got cognitive impairment. And Dan and other people have done the Dementia Friends training, and I'm very keen to run that again if there's people around who want to understand dementia care a little bit more. And there's many of us within this congregation who are working within the community with older people. So there's Helen and Sally Ann and other people whose whole work life is around supporting older people to live life well. The loneliness agenda within Southampton City is also providing an amazing opportunity for ministry, and our lunch clubs and so on need to feed into that and to be encouraged through that. The Church of England has got lots of ideas about working with older people as well, so there are resources available. So what's the next step? What else could we do? One of the great things, I think, is the intergenerational work that I really wanted to talk about. Has anybody watched the Care Home for Four-Year-Olds series? Yeah. Anybody stayed dry-eyed through it? No. It's amazingly powerful, and I'm really delighted in this series they're actually looking at the kids as well. Last time they were just looking at the changes in older people. Actually, that intergenerational blesses both sides, and it's really significant to see that changing. The other illustration is another Christian care home. I know the chairman of the board, he invited me to go up and speak about doing intergenerational work, and they've now got a kids club, a nursery going in twice a week to work alongside the older people, doing activities together and building relationships. It is possible to be changing that generation. We live in a world where everything's separated. We do things in our silos. And yet God is not like that. God is speaking to all of us across the generations. The gap at that top corner there is for an image where we had the youth band playing at the Communicare tea party that we did in February. I'm sorry that I didn't get the picture on. But Tom and Abigail and Will sang for us, and the folk who came were blown apart by the quality of the band to start with. They thought they were professionals. They'd heard them on Solent Radio, they said. And also just the sense that these young guys wanted to come and be with them for the afternoon. They sat and had tea. That's really fundamental. And we've already hopefully arranged for one of the choirs from the schools to come in and sing at the Christmas celebration. Just to help us work at those intergenerational ways, because I think that's really, really fundamental. So hopefully that's where we're heading, that's what we're going to be doing. I just wanted this slide to kind of take it back to us and our own sense of who we are. And I think we are facing our own mortality, and I think if we don't recognise that, we need to. And we need to live now. We need to realise that the treasure we are is to live for God. And in academic and medical language, we don't just talk about things happening as you get older at the end of your life. We talk about your whole life course of experience, helping you to become the person that you are, or causing you to become the person that you have become, whether that's positive or negative. And actually, the way you live now influences who you are going to be when you grow older. And let's work towards being living a Mrs. Hadfield life, and not feeling at the end of your life that you have not done the things that you feel God has been calling you to do. We are all going to die, folks, but let's make the life that we live count for us. And so finally, I think if you have a sense that maybe this word isn't for you, that actually you don't feel like God's treasure, you don't recognise what's going on. I talked about the prophecy at the beginning. Stuart spoke on this passage in Exodus in July, and then Paul chose it when he was speaking about the intergenerational message. This is God's word to us here in Shirley now. And just in case I didn't really get that, as I was driving home from work on Thursday, this was the image that greeted me. The rainbow across the sky of Shirley. This is God's covenant promise to us as people here in Shirley. And at the bottom of the rainbow, there is St. James's Church. Now, I know that's not biblical, that there's treasure at the end of the rainbow. But I think God has got a sense of humour, and he was saying to me, this is where your treasure lies. We as the church are God's chosen possession. That's you and that's me and that's all of us here. And amazingly, I was listening to Premier Christian Radio. I never listened to that. And the guy was reading out these verses from Corinthians, just as we've been reading this morning. This is what he was reading as the rainbow was pointing over St. James's Church. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Amen.